You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
This podcast is brought to you by Voyage AC.
Okay, I have two bedtime sprays, three cherry lip glosses, and the organic brown sugar body scrub.
Are all those for you?
No, it just feels like everyone we know has a birthday in May and June, so I'm stocking up on presents.
Well, can we keep one of those bedtime sprays? Just one whiff after you've spritzed my pillow and I'm already asleep.
I know, me too, hun. And you know I always have a stash for us. Voyage AC is your destination for candles and so many other wonderful, thoughtful Mother's Day or birthday gifts like the bedtime spray, beachwear, yummy lip glosses, slippers, face and body products. So how can our listeners find Voyage AC?
You can find everything on their website at www.voyageac.com. That's VOYAGETCIE.com.
And as you know, Melanie is willing to give my friends and family discount to all our listeners right
what?
Now. Yep, that's 10% off everything you buy.
So all you need to do is enter the only one at checkout.
That's right. All you have to do is enter the only one when you make your purchase. Voyage AC is an olfactory journey of candles, perfume, and organic beauty products.
This episode is being sponsored by Cute Booty Lounge.
So I wore my CBL leggings on our group dog walk this week, and I am not exaggerating when I say that each of those women got on their phones and ordered a pair by the end of the walk because they love the way my booty looks in them.
Your booty looks good in everything you wear.
Aw.
But it especially looks bootylicious in those CBL leggings.
Honey, with the bootylicious, okay. Cute Booty Lounge is made right here in the USA by women for women. The company is incredible, female and minority owned. And there's a cute booty style for everyone. No matter where your active life takes you, CBL will comfortably dress you from head to toe. And they fit every shape and size, so Cute Booty Lounge has you covered. Embrace your body, love your booty.
And guess what? If you head to cutebootylounge.com and enter the code THEONLYBOOTY, you can get 15% off your first order.
I love the only booty. And 15% off? I'm going to buy a gang of leggings.
Mm-hmm. So head to cutebootylounge.com before Laura buys them all and enter the code THEONLYBOOTY to get 15% off your first order. Andrea Owen, thank you so much. That was such a fascinating conversation.
Thank you for having me. Yes, I love this topic.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting in my road to recovery in the last 12 years and the fact that actually Laura and I met, I don't know if you know the story, but we met first day, first hour in treatment a little over 12 years ago at the Meadows. We walked through the doors in the same hour and we're still together 12 years later. So
that's incredible.
Right? It's a whole episode in itself for sure, or two. But this conversation, I learned more about love addiction and you know, sex addiction when I was at the Meadows. I think you said something during the interview about all of us have elements of this in our lives. No, nobody is not touched by this subject.
Right.
I've tried to have this conversation with men because I see that men go through the same thing that women go through with us. And they continually create situations that manifest a certain outcome. And they look at you like, why is this happening? You know, one of the things that I found out about love addiction and sex addiction is their roles in this. There needs to be an addict and an avoidant, right? Like,
yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think that, You know, I think it's interesting how gender wants to make the woman the love addict and the man the love avoidant, but the roles are much more complicated.
It's not always the case.
Right.
I believe that it's common to have the man as the love avoidant and the woman as the, you know, in a heterosexual relationship, but it definitely can vary. And I think even if you just Google Pia Melody love addiction cycle, people can see it's an actual image that comes up and it shows the pattern that it looks like to give people a better idea of what the experience is. And that was actually the pattern that I read in the book and was like, had that feeling of like, oh my God, she's been spying on me. And this is a biography of my life. It was a horrible sinking feeling. And I know that I'm forgetting her name right now. She's a psychologist and it's at the centerforhealthysex.org. I had her on my podcast and she actually talked about this and how many times it stems from, for men, it stems from the relationship that they had with their mother. And for women, it stems from the relationship that we had or did not have with our father. And, you know, you can kind of connect the dots that way.
Yeah, one of the things that I read is that the love avoidant senses the love addict's desire for closeness and insecurity and walks into the relationship using those as signals, right? Like, and often this, you know, I remember one of the most prevalent things I learned at the Meadows was I heard Pia came in and did a talk for us one night and she said something like, well, if you're 38 years old and you keep getting into relationships and they keep ending up like this, what I want you to do is ask yourself a question. When you meet someone, and they sound like this, and they look like this, and they smell like this, and they do this, run.
No, you know what she said was, she said, when you meet someone and you feel that rush, like that I've got to have them, got to be next to them, like everything feels perfect.
And what she did
run.
And what she did is she made me realize that like we talked about earlier, that sometimes our instincts have turned on us because of what we've experienced in life and what tells us this is going to be good. And then we end up at the end of it going, how the hell did this happen?
Again. Or how did I end up with somebody who's just like my father? How did I end up with somebody who's just like my mother? There's another really great book out there and people are going to be reading a lot. Harv Hendricks wrote Getting the Love You Want. Mm. And he also wrote one for singles. It has a different title though. And he talks about his theory of the imago. Have you guys ever heard of that?
No. I don't think I have.
Okay. So his theory is that as we grow up, we have created a persona who inhabits the positive and negative characteristics of our primary caregivers. And this is completely unconscious that we grow up and we meet someone and we kind of do like this check off. You know, if this person meets all this criteria, the more that they are like our primary caregivers, the more attracted we are to them, even if they don't treat us well. And his theory is that we are trying to heal our childhood wounds through our partner. And that's not their job. The good news is he has all these exercises that I've gone through these with my husband and they're enormously helpful. So we can let our partners off the hook and also heal our own childhood wounds, because that's essentially what we need to do. But I want to circle back real quick to what you were saying. And yes, that is what I did as a love addict, is that I would almost, you know, and I partially blame romantic comedies and Disney movies.
Sure.
I
mean, they're ideals that
we strive
for. It was
absolutely that fantasy that I thought my knight in shining armor was going to run up on his white horse and save me and rescue me. And it was very much like this damsel in distress syndrome. And I think about it.
Mine was always
like,
what's the story I'm going to tell people when they say, how did you meet? And then when I met Laura, right? And then when I met Laura in treatment, I was like, oh, I'm never going to be able to tell this story at a dinner table. They'll not, you know, they won't buy it. But that was the shift I needed. I needed to not have that rush. I needed to be curious. I needed to play up a little bit, you know, and I needed all these things that didn't feel comfortable to be what guided me. And it took like a bottom, like you talked about, till I was just willing to try anything to not feel the way I had felt before. And I wasn't looking at love addiction at that point. I literally was trying to stop drinking and go to jail because that was my deal.
Yeah.
We're going to take just a quick break to tell you about a cool new product that Scott and I discovered. And we'll get back to our guest's amazing Only One story in just a minute.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Do you like science fiction? I'm Carrie Bechet, and if you loved movies like Arrival or Interstellar, then you're going to want to check out my podcast, Hypothetical. On Hypothetical, we tell speculative sci-fi stories interwoven with real science. New episodes every Tuesday, available wherever you get podcasts.
But there, I grabbed Pia's book and I'm looking at it and just, mm-hmm. I just want to read really quick the first couple of steps that she talks about. And she says, initially, the love addict is attracted to the seduction and apparent power of the love avoidant. Mm. And then the love addict feels high as the fantasy is triggered. That was very much my life. Mm. Like I looked at this person as the one that had the power and I wanted to be near it. And I wanted to sort of, it's hard to explain. I wanted to hook myself to that person so they could make me feel better.
Well, I have this pulled up and it's not Pia, but it says, then the love avoidant senses the addict's desire for closeness and intimate connection. It triggers a desire and fear of intimacy. So then mm-hmm. it starts this cycle, right? Like go near the fire, go near the flame, go away from the
push,
flame,
pull.
Go near the
mm-hmm.
flame. Yeah. And then I think for me, I always think that drinking was just a result of something else that was going on in my life. I think as humans, like you talked about, our desire to connect is really what drives us intuitively. But when that thing continues to lead us in a disastrous place or an unsuccessful place, then it becomes hard to trust that, you know?
Exactly.
And so you're in this cycle that you aren't aware of, but the awareness of it. As soon as I read that and I see that there are roles being played and that I have a part in it, then I can look at it from a different angle and I start to be like, oh, yeah. Shit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's looking at it from a different angle. And I always say that for me, what I wanted the most, and I think this is every single human in the world, I wanted love and intimacy and connection and trust. Mm-hmm. Those were also the things that I was at top of my list, most totally afraid of.
I'll tell you, as a man, if most men probably won't lead with this, but I think that's what most men want too. I think most humans, we just want that emotional security and the roles that we think we have to play to get there often are just, like you said, fantasies or ideas that we've adopted along the way, create playouts that just lead us into the corner. One of the other things is recently I have a friend who was arrested on a domestic violence thing with his girlfriend. It was like a first time for him ever in his life. And he was looking at me like, how did this happen? You know, then he came up to me and spoke to me again about a date he went on 6 weeks later. And he said, she was about to call the cops. And I was like, okay, dude. Like, what is the common denominator here?
Exactly.
What's happening mm-hmm. here? And I wasn't pointing out his behavior, but I was pointing out his picker. I was like, yeah. I think you're picking something. And he looked at me so confused. But I think that men have a hard time talking about this because it's hard to identify them. It's hard for them to identify themselves in this situation. It's hard for them sure. to see they're just running on instincts instead of intuition. And I'm just really glad that we had you on the show to talk about this because I do. I think that it needs to be a part of language more. And I think the shame needs to be taken away from it. And mm-hmm. people who are enjoying healthy relationships as a result of confronting it straight on, you know, I think many people drink because they can't connect. Many people yeah. use drugs because they can't connect. So they're trying to fix this outside issue instead of the inside issue, is which is how do I connect, you know?
Right. And that's exactly what I wanted to say, was that with my love addiction, with my codependence, with my, we didn't even get into my eating disorder, but with restricting calories, with drinking and using pills, those were only the symptoms. The real problem is exactly what you said. I had this horrible fear and longing at the same time for love and connection and intimacy with people. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't have any tools at all. So I was sort of running around in circles and essentially abusing myself and others in an effort to try to get there. And I too, like your friend, when my second relationship blew up and I was on the floor, on the ground, I had to admit to myself, you know, what's the common denominator here in both of these relationships that exploded? It was me. And this is not to let the men off the hook who did some pretty horrible and abusive things to me. They have responsibility, but I also had to take responsibility for the fact that I stayed in these relationships when my intuition told me to leave, that I tolerated unacceptable behavior, and that was the problem, that I was drinking and using love addiction to try to cover up. So it wasn't until I addressed that is when I truly started to heal.
Yeah, it's super fascinating, and thank you so much for coming on the show and really, you know, taking a step out there and letting people not feel alone with this situation.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Thank you for listening to The Only One in the Room. Please join us each Tuesday and Sunday for an incredible brand new Only One interview. And every Friday for On My Nightstand, where I'll be reading something that I love. If you have an Only One story you'd like to share, or a piece of writing you'd like to submit, please send it to theonlyonepod@gmail.com. From all of us at The Only One in the Room, we wish you dopeness, health, and prosperity.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.